Join us as we discuss the Fyre Festival documentary on Netflix everyone's talking about, and how we can learn from this disaster to sell better, and what we can learn to avoid.
Anyone in Vegas will tell you there's no business like show business, but you can't have the show without the biz. Showtime Photo Booth SEO is the go-to SEO provider for photo boothers. They are sure to bring the audience you need to your website via Google search. Come see the show for yourself at Photo Booth Expo Las Vegas, February 24th through the 27th at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Visit us at booth number 320. It's showtime. Welcome to Super Boothers. My name is Ryan.
And I'm Ismail.
I'm sorry, who?
Senor Ismail.
I haven't talked to you in Lord knows how long.
Yeah. I'm a little offended.
You had a baby. I have been living out of a plane and a suitcase. I went to BoothCon. Like, I really doubt we had a show there for a little bit.
You forgot all about it.
I really did.
It generally does happen this time of year, though. So between December going crazy and then the aftermath of, like, recovering, generally lose some touch in that time period.
It's so strange, but, like, we have, like, a lot of, like, personal things going on that just, like, kind of creep up.
Yeah, and they kind of happen at the same time.
We haven't missed a week. We have not missed a week of the show.
That is true.
I've had a lot of time to watch a little bit of Netflix.
But they raised prices. You didn't cancel?
No, God no. Netflix could charge me $80. I will say this: I actually did cancel my regular cable.
Oh, you did?
I don't have cable anymore. No. Well, I was gone pretty much the month of January. I was gone pretty much the month of December. So why am I paying for stuff that I'm not using?
I've been so close to doing that. My only thing is I like to watch sports, and there's no real good alternative to paying for cable.
Well, the only thing I really care about is, like, the news, but they've put some of the news stations on Hulu. So you can watch, like, your nightly newscast, like, on Hulu.
Yeah. No, I think it's going to get there eventually. Just for now, the sports, you know, they're the main thing. And also, I tried calling, like, the cable company and, like, canceling my home phone.
Oh, and they, like, screw with you and they say stuff like, oh, well, you can't because it's bundled or
it's more money.
It's whatever.
No, they told me if you take it out, it's more expensive without it. I'm like, what? How does that make sense?
It doesn't.
Who's running the operation over
there? Someone smarter than I am. Because let me tell you.
But yeah, you see all this hoopla whenever Netflix raises their price by $1 a month. And I'm like,
people. Who seriously cares? Like, one of my favorite shows, The Crown, has been the most money Netflix has ever spent on a series. And it's, like, so amazingly accurate. Like, it's just, I don't mind paying $1 to see, like, Claire Foy in, like, actual Buckingham Palace. Like, I don't care. Take two.
There's a good lesson there, though, because there's always people threatening to cancel. Like, this is probably things that we can relate to. People are threatening to cancel over a price increase. And what really happens is that Netflix raises the price by $1, which is like 10%, right? So they increase their revenue 10%. The people that cancel are like such a minority where it's maybe 1% or 2% of people that cancel. They still make more money.
For sure.
In spite of the people complaining.
And it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And I think people have to realize that Netflix is going to continue raising their prices, I think, till they get to like 20, 30 bucks a month because it's worth it.
So the way how Ismail and I kind of operate the show is we use something called Trello, which is a great project management software. And for the most part, it's free. I think there's a paid version to do like some crazy stuff, but I mean, you really kind of don't need it. And I'm looking at my phone and a little message pops up. And Ismail and I, whenever we have ideas for the show, we just like kind of put it in Trello. And this thing popped up and it said Fyre Festival. And this is such a hot topic amongst like Netflix and Hulu right now, because both Netflix and Hulu came out with documentaries about the same thing. So my question is, what prompted you to put Fyre Festival into Firefox? That's something else. What prompted you to put Fyre Festival into a topic of conversation on the show?
because I started seeing people talk about it, and I didn't see it yet, but I wanted to see it because I thought it, from what I was seeing people talk about, there seemed to be a lot of lessons there. It's an event, right, which we can relate to. There was a lot of great marketing apparently involved. There was pre-selling involved, and they didn't do a good job. So maybe we can learn from some of their mistakes. So like I said, I haven't seen it.
So
you did.
I think, so I'm hoping, I think to say that it wasn't successful is a rather large understatement. So the way how it goes is Fyre Festival was created by a gentleman named Billy McFarland and Ja Rule, which, funny enough, I had lunch next to Ja Rule a couple years ago whenever I was in New York prior to all this going down. Anyways, that's another story. But if you're ever in New York, go to the Mercer Hotel, go to Mercer Kitchen. You might see him there. However, with Fyre Festival, it was supposed to be like – so Fyre was supposed to be an app where – it was supposed to like book talent, kind of like you book Ubers. So it was just supposed to cut out the middleman. Hey, you want to hire Beyonce? This is how much she costs. Beyonce has this app, or Beyonce's people has this app. You pay the money. Beyonce shows up at your event if like she accepts it, kind of thing. So it was meant to be a streamlined way of booking talent. So what they did was they kind of created a festival as to launch that. And it was meant to be a luxury music festival.
Interesting.
Which that didn't happen.
Wait, so Ja Rule was a co-creator? He was like that involved?
He was. So he was involved with the app. And then he did take on a role with the festival, but Billy McFarland was the person, I guess, ultimately responsible. So the way how it kind of worked out was, so this is the point where I usually joke about taking recreational drugs and how much like this like movie stressed me out. Like this, I had to turn off this movie like three times. I could not watch it in one sitting just because as an event professional, the stuff that was happening here just cannot ever happen. Like
what? I saw some images of like the people picking up the luggage out of a container in the middle of the night.
Yeah, yeah.
Just throwing it out of the back of the truck. Yeah.
So the way how it kind of worked was they had a horrible logistics plan. If they had proposed these like luxury villas, and everyone, it was supposed to be like glamping at its finest, but it really just kind of didn't work out like that. So what they ended up with was tents that were like left over from like a hurricane. So here they are living in like disaster tents. Apparently like they had like all the mattresses laid out. It rained the night before the festival, so like all these mattresses were wet by the time people arrived. Originally the way how this worked was, and the reason why I think I'm having like such a problem like describing like everything that happened is just because so much stuff went wrong on so many levels, like you almost don't know where to begin. They had originally started off with the concept where they paid, you know, so many models like Bella Hadid, and I don't think any of the Jenners were there, but they filmed this promo video where they had said that they bought Pablo Escobar's island or what have you, which apparently wasn't.
They actually bought it or they rented it?
Well, they told people that they bought it and they had like a lease for it, but apparently that's not what happened. And to this day, I don't know what the actual true story is. Like, I don't know like how this actually worked out or how they even got permission to be on this island. But pretty much what ended up happening was they shot this promo video that was truthfully amazing. Like they brought out a crew, they, you know, paid all this talent. This promo video was seriously amazing. Like I would love to have that promo video for my business. And they had this like coordinated social media effort to where they were posting this, they had social media influencers posting this orange tile. So it was just like an orange screen on your Instagram, on all these influencers' pages, all at the same time. So if you're scrolling through Instagram, you're like, what is this orange tile? And pretty much what it was is promoting Fyre Festival. So everyone was like, well, what is this? So then they start clicking. Well, apparently they sold, you know, X amount of dollars in Fyre Festival, you know, right off the bat. Supposedly, I believe they sold out like almost instantaneously.
Yeah, so, I think I read it was like within the first day or two, totally sold out. Yeah,
something like that. So, but what I got a kick out of was the way how they like promoted this festival. Funny enough, one of the things that they did was they took a Sandals Resort floor plan, I guess. And like that's the floor plan that they used to promote like what this festival looked like. I'm like, wow, like that's just the amount of like literal fraud that was going on was just like insane. So apparently like they had all these supposed people that they had Disclosure, they had Blink-182, they had, you know, all sorts of these people that technically were never booked. So
how does that confusion happen where
I have
you
no,
think they're booked, but they're not?
I don't even think that that's possible. So it's, truthfully, we're almost in an age where if you scream it out loud and you put it on the internet, it almost becomes true. If you say something out loud with such conviction, apparently that makes it true nowadays. I just don't understand it. So
I'm assuming the plan was that they were actually going to get booked and they were just using them as a way to sell the tickets.
I guess so. I don't know. And, you know, apparently Blink-182, I believe, was the first one to officially pull out. Because they said that they weren't like essentially having like all the necessary equipment that they needed. But anyway, so they supposedly, you know, projected as this, you know, 5-star caterer that's coming out. And then the big photo that went viral was a to-go container with 2 pieces of bread, 2 slices of cheese, some rather questionable lettuce, a slimy tomato with some dressing on it. So, and that's the photo that went viral. So what's really funny about this is, and they talk about it in the Netflix documentary was, you know, here you have a social media coordinated effort to promote this thing. And that all gets taken down by a guy with 200 followers.
That's so interesting.
So, if you haven't seen it, take a look at it. By no means did I, you know, say anything of a spoiler alert because, well, it's all happening now, but the whole thing, and actually there's some like it's still not even finished, so there's like legal ramifications that are happening to the models that posted this stuff.
Oh really?
Yes. So they got a class action, Fire Festival got a class action lawsuit, but some of the models are being sued as well.
That's interesting, because
which I ultimately don't think that they'll be held responsible for, because they didn't do it maliciously or they didn't have any intent or anything like that. But what they're pushing for with regulation is to pretty much promote like hashtag, you know, ad or hashtag promoted or hashtag sponsored, just so that the consumer knows.
Yeah, okay.
You know, hey, I'm being paid for this.
Really, though? Like, people don't think that they're being paid. Like, they're just – I don't understand that. And I think it'll
– But they were posting – but the photos that they were posting were very casual photos.
I think that if you put the responsibility on these endorsers to, like, vet all of the things that they endorse, it's
yeah,
a dangerous –
exactly. Yeah. There's no way. There's no way. That's like us taking over – or, you know, accepting a sponsor, you know, the sponsor gives us money. You know, we try and do our due diligence to make sure that at least like the sponsor that, you know, is advertising with us, that they're legit. They're not going to, you know, screw anyone over, what have you. And just make sure that they attempt to be, you know, on the up and up as much as possible. But I mean, we can't be like magicians and, you know what's going to happen.
And even if,
you know, so, and I think that's what, that was the case with the models.
Right. If you were the model and they're paying you all this money and they're flying you out there and you see Ja Rule and you see this and you see that.
You think it's legit.
Yeah, I would too. So my question is, what happened to all that money? Like, he got all these sales, he made all this money, and then they gave people sandwiches made of cheese.
I think what ended up happening was he overspent. So he was taking investors' money. I want to say it was something like $27 million, but I have no clue what the final number was or what have you. But apparently he was doing a little robbing Peter to pay Paul kind of scenario. He had another company called Magnesis, which was a card that was supposed to be like, I think it was touted as the black card for millennials, where you have this card, you pay this membership fee, it gives you all these perks like Hamilton tickets for $200, you know, just like crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. So I believe what was happening was he was taking money from Fire Festival to pay off that stuff. at any rate, he was just taking money left and right, and just, I mean, this guy wasn't smart at all. I mean,
well, let me jump in here with, without having seen the whole story. Mm-hmm. It seems like he was a great marketer. Like,
fierce marketer.
First of all, we advocate pre-selling on this show the right way.
We do.
This is an example of this guy being a great marketer, awesome pre-seller, right? But apparently his execution was terrible. And I think this is why people in our industry and in general, in any industry, have a problem with pre-selling, because there's a lot of these horror stories out there. But it's like anything else. The outliers get all the attention. There's a lot of great examples of pre-selling. So I don't want people to think that we're saying don't pre-sell. I'd like to take the lessons from this as how to market, what to avoid, but also keep in mind that you can't pre-sell ethically. This is an example of not doing that.
Truthfully, this is just literally the textbook on what not to do, but I get having like great big grand ideas, and I'm all for that. However, you can't do things like take money like he did and squander it like he did is what ended up happening. Whenever I say for us to pre-sell, you know, we're talking about maximum, you know, $5,000 worth of equipment. You know, I mean, I get it. Things happen. So I'm actually going through something right now where I am importing something, and there's a good chance that it might not make it. But at the end of the day, I have a backup plan just to make sure that, okay, if this doesn't go through, well, here's something that can go through, and making sure that, you know, the client knows, hey, this may not happen. This part is out of my control. However, I already have this in the backup just in case. And they're usually fine with that, so long as you're transparent with them. And that's another thing is with Fyre Festival, he had a team of people that were telling him, hey, this is what we need to do to manage expectations. We can salvage this. There was an analogy made about Woodstock and how Woodstock people were, I guess they had issues with water. People were living in mud. People were dying from drug overdoses. But you don't hear that about Woodstock, because Woodstock was just like this amazing thing that happened. So if Woodstock can come back from, you know, this PR disaster, you know, maybe Fyre Festival can too.
Well,
so that's the stuff that you, I guess, kind of tell yourself in a moment of panic. But at the end of the day, it was just people paying a lot of money and there was no follow through.
Well, what blows me away is that, and I was speaking with a friend about something related to this, where, like in his business, he wasn't having a problem getting business. He's having a problem fulfilling it. And to me, this is another example of that, where he had no issue selling, getting the money, getting customers. The issue he had was in the execution. And to me, that seems like the easier part, right? Most people have a hard time getting the money, getting the customers, selling. And I don't know. I feel like I'm not trying to downplay how much work is involved in putting an event like this together, but I would think that the actual execution of the event is like a secondary thought. The more difficult thing is getting the sale, getting the sales. So it just blows me away. If I was in the position of this guy, where you had achieved so much, you got so many people to endorse you, and you got so much money invested, and you had a great plan, and even the app, the initial app, was a great idea. You're really going to mess it all up on executing a party? Like, I feel like that, to me, kind of blows me away.
Well, and that was the thing, was that it was a lot more than just a party. But the point is that there was a whole bunch of people that flew down to the Bahamas to go to this event and ended up getting stuck there, because there was no way out, no planes getting out, nothing. And initially, whenever like the first wave of people arrived, they took them to a restaurant and just started, you know, funneling food and tequila and booze down their throat, blasting the music so loud that you couldn't think. And, you know, initially, if you're getting there, you're like, oh, okay, this is fine. Like, this is fun. We're on the Bahamas. There's only an exclusive amount of people. And then once they got to like the campground, they realized like everything that's really like going down. Well, one thing that you really don't know about is the economic impact that it has on the locals. So the locals were the ones that really suffered. So they, you know, did all this work, never got paid. You know, you have people that, you know, a day laborer going to the person that hired them saying, hey, where's my money? And, you know, that guy hasn't been paid yet. There was the woman that owned the restaurant. She said that she had to pay $50,000 out of her own savings to, you know, cover what had happened. And it's just like, that's the part that makes this guy a little bit of a scumbag. But from my understanding,
from my understanding,
he, I believe, got 6 years, a fine, and then has a ban on being, like, he can't sit on like any board for the rest of his life or something like that. There was a class action lawsuit. I believe the class action lawsuit is still stuck in whatever. And then there were a couple of individuals that sued him as well. They were awarded $5 million, but they're, I guess, waiting for, you know,
are they going
to
collect that?
Waiting to be paid. I highly doubt that. Yeah. That's just not going to happen. So anyways, moral of the story, try not to pre-sell stuff unless you have something to back it up with.
Yeah. I mean, I think you kind of hit it on the head before when you were saying you're in a situation, you're trying to import something that may not get there in time, but you have a game plan, right? Do you think it's easier to, like, do you agree with me that the hard part is executing, getting the customer, not executing the event?
I truthfully think it depends on the person. And once you recognize and like see the kind of personality and how charismatic he was and, you know, how much he believed in this without it even coming to fruition is just shocking to me. I don't have a problem with booking business. Like, I don't have a problem. I'm picking up the phone and say, hey, I got this new thing. Do you want to do it? Yeah, sure. Fine. Totally. Add it to the bill. Like, I've always just had that innate ability. I know that there's a lot of people that don't. So I think that there are some people that can make money with their eyes closed. There are some people that just can do that. I mean, like Bernie Madoff, like think about him.
Oh, that's another one.
Like he's just had the ability to like make people come to him. Oh my God. I think it was the HBO series or something like that.
Oh, I saw it.
It was like six. Oh my God. I love it. Like I would want to give Richard Dreyfuss my money. Like just take it all. Seriously, because there are some people that just have that ability. So, and that's not to say that they're all, you know, like crooks or whatever, but everyone has just different problems, you know? I mean, there are some people that are just magnetic like that.
It seems like that charisma counts for a lot. Like my brother was telling me about this another Netflix show, the Ted Bundy thing.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
But the thing that stood out to him was how charismatic this guy was. Like he was
absolutely
in court for murder and he was kind of joking around and winking at the judge and
smiling.
And the judge was like, I like you. I hope you didn't do this. And I feel like that can get you so far if you have that ability. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't. And from the people that I speak to, the listeners that I speak to, the huge majority have an issue with getting the business, not really executing on the booking.
For sure.
Yeah. But I still think pre-selling is a way to go. do it the right way. I didn't see it yet, so that may change my mind. I actually am interested in watching it just to learn how well he pre-sold, like what he did to, like the marketing thing you mentioned is really interesting on social media. So I want to learn from this disaster. And hopefully like also learn what to avoid.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you have seen either documentary on Netflix or Hulu, put it in our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/superboothers. Thanks so much, guys. We'll see you next week.